Stacey Eldridge is the author of Defiant Joy, Taking Hold of Hope, Beauty, and Life in a Hurting World. Bestselling author Stacey Eldridge shows readers how to choose a joy that stands against the tides of life's real and often overwhelming pain. Not like T-Pain. We are called to live and miraculously to live with joy, which can be just irritating, when, especially when you're at a funeral, standing there by your loved one's casket and someone says, "In all things have joy," or something like that. You just want to throat punch them. We all spend a lot of energy reaching for happiness, but we are never quite able to hang on to it. Real life happens, and our circumstances take us on an emotional roller coaster ride. So the Bible's call to be joyful always, irritating little verse, man, that is one of those pebble verses that get into your shoe and you just go, come on.
But joy does not equal happy, and I think sometimes people confuse them.
Yeah, I don't know. What's going on in the hall? Are they having a party down there?
Party.
Let's shut the door.
Money in the account and good food on the table. Like, yeah. I don't think that's what they meant.
Anyway, Stacey Eldridge is a New York Times bestselling author. Her books have sold nearly 3 million copies and changed women's lives all over the world. Stacey, I want to know from you, first off, as far as changing women's lives all over the world, how many men's lives have you changed?
I would hope a whole bunch, because in so many marriages and relationships, women lead the way, and a woman's heart gets captured for Jesus and healed and increasingly restored. It's going to affect the men in her lives.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. Welcome back to the show. We had you on a number of years ago. So, Stacey, look, you've heard my intro to you, and you've probably realized. Oh, first, let me introduce you to Johnny Wonder. Johnny, this is Stacey. Stacey, Johnny.
Hi, Stacey. How are you?
Hi, Johnny. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
He's another Yank, so you guys can, I don't know, talk about politics or something new.
Or not.
You've heard my intro there. You know that I have the spiritual gift of pessimism or cynicism or sarcasm or whatever, right?
Or honesty, however you want to say it.
No, I think some people raise that stuff up the honesty pole, and you know, just because they have some. I'm authentic, you know. I'm an Enneagram 4, so authenticity is just riveting for me. And yet, at the same time, I realize not everything needs to be said. Someone said to me recently. So, can you help me not be a jerk? Is what I'm saying.
Well, I think Johnny said he's like, yeah, happiness and joy are different. You know, joy is not happiness on steroids. It's not happiness squared. And this book is not about singing through the garden all day. I'm so happy every day. That's impossible. That's not real. Joy is something completely different. It's not a feeling. It's a different substance that's reserved for those who are tapping in to the heart of God, to his substance, and to the resources that are available to us in heaven at all times, in any way, so that you can be standing, as I was just a couple weeks ago, next to the casket of a friend, and say, I actually have a reason to be joyful in this moment. And I'm not happy. This is with tears falling down my face. But this is a whole other thing.
What's been the darkest time of your life? And I ask that for a purpose, Stacey, because I was speaking to someone recently. They just wrote a book about happiness. And happy people write books about happiness, and then people who are happy buy those books about happiness, or they're used to give to people who need to read the book and they don't read the book. And so what I'm trying to say is you're probably already joyful, and you're speaking from a place of understanding. And so you write this book, and people who buy it are already joyful. In other words, you're not going to, I don't think, I think it's an uphill battle for people who really need your book to grab onto it and get into it. So what I think Stacey is going to help is if you share with us your darkness, because I think people of darkness will then resonate with you a little bit.
Well, I'm almost 60 years old, so picking what would be the darkest time in my life, I've got a lot of options there. And that's what this book is about. This book is about real life and hurting and suffering and pain and discovering God, a deeper intimacy in the midst of that. So I actually wrote this book in what was one of the most painful years of my life. We lost a brother. We lost our first grandson. We lost a best friend. And I was in the worst physical pain of my life. And it was in the midst of this heartbreak and pain and sorrow that God invited me to know him in a way that I could look back and say that was sacred. That was a sacred year. I wouldn't want to relive it. I don't want those things again. And and what I've come to know of God in the midst of it, that's good. So again, joy isn't about singing and balloons and popping things and all over the place. It's about being tethered to eternity while at the same time not living in denial of the life we find ourselves in on any given day.
Well, so I wanna,
this is Johnny speaking.
Sorry,
now.
I actually want to chime in because I think what I agree with what you're saying. I think it's this. There's a general, I guess, human instinct to judge everything as good or bad. And I think like where I tend to find God or Jesus or, you know, anything along those lines is if I can get into a position where I don't have to judge everything as good or bad. I mean, there's obviously sad things and there's painful things, but good or bad, meaning like my friend passed away. Okay, that's sad. But in the grand scheme of things, is that good or bad? I don't know. And it's like taking away that judgment of good or bad. Why does it have to be good? If it's good, that means if I believe in Jesus and something good happens, and oh God, then that means that everything that whenever I'm believing in Jesus, good things happen. That's not what any book says. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say any of that anywhere. What it's sort of asking you to do is, in my little baby brain, is to stay open-minded and to not, you know, turn your judger on minute after minute after minute after minute, because that's where it gets murky.
Okay, so Stacy, do you see a correlation between judgmentalism and joy?
Oh, I absolutely do. I think that's such a good point. When we name things as bad, a season of our life or a relationship or how we happen to be living in the moment, that affects how we experience it, affects our emotions. But I think so much of our lives, we really have to be looking at God and saying, what do you name them? What do you think of them? Because he's already named them good, literally. And though there are things that happen that are hard and painful, and for us to say that they're only horrible, even if in the moment they are only horrible, they feel that way, to know that somewhere out there, there's the possibility of redemption because of the God that loves us, that is a great good.
Okay.
That's for us not to judge things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On the line with Stacy Eldridge, the book we're talking about is Defiant Joy. She's the author of said book. Why Defiant? I mean, that's the hook for me. If you just wrote a book called Joy, but Defiant Joy, I like that. Okay, so I'm a little bit of a... well, I've already said I'm a jerk, but when you throw the word defiant in, it makes me very, very... strangely interested. Why?
It's because in the age that we're living in, a stance of defiance is needed. I mean, defiant means to stand against the tide, to resist, to disobey, to dissent, to rebel. And that is required when the world is telling us that everything is horrible, that sorrow and suffering win, that pain is the banner over life. It takes a stance of defiance to say, no, that is not true. Because of all that Jesus has done and won for us, I'm going to agree that actually life wins, goodness wins, beauty wins. And that requires a strength of spirit that is actually defiant. And I think it's actually something that's in all of us. There's a stubbornness in us for a reason.
Joining us on the line, Stacy Eldridge, author of Defiant Joy, Taking Hold of Hope, Beauty, and Life in a Hurting World. The website is defiantjoy.com. And, of course, Stacy is a New York Times bestselling author. Her books have sold nearly 3 million copies. Stacy, having that moniker and having written these very successful books, what has it turned you into?
Oh, I'm kind of in awe. And what? It's really amazing, and it doesn't actually affect my day-to-day life, but it's a thrill to know that God is using some stuff that I did with my husband to bring life to people. Like, that's amazing. That's really great.
What do you think is the most impactful thing about... See, I know you're American, so you can talk about this. If a Canadian was to be asked this question, we would really struggle. But hear me out. What is the most impactful thing about you? A Canadian would say, "Oh shucks, there's nothing impactful about me. I'm a Canadian. We're happy with bronze at the Olympics." What about Stacy Eldridge? What's the most impactful thing about you?
That I'm real. I'm authentic. When I speak, I'm not going to give some watered down version or shiny picture of myself. I think what's helpful is for people to know vulnerability and the truth of reality that they're living in, to know they can relate. So I think that's really the best thing about me, is that what you see is what you get. Who I am up front is who I am behind the scenes too. And
okay.
I think that's helpful.
Stacey, what do you say to all of my listeners who, you know, they're not into the Jesus thing? They're fascinated with spirituality. They're fascinated with human growth, with, you know, the potential of us as people and with being better people, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Maybe they light their patchouli candles and bow a lot. But they're not into Jesus really a whole lot. And here you come along with this book talking about, you know, a lot about Jesus. So what do you, hold on, what am I asking here? I'm asking, do you think that people who aren't into Jesus have the same shot at defiant joy as non-Jesus people?
I think that if you have a spirituality where you're reaching out to know a deeper connection with, I'll say, with the creator of the universe, that you have a really great shot at it, because you're first off knowing that you have a great dignity as being a human being. You have dignity. And absolutely, I'm a Jesus follower, and I believe that every single person is worthy of love and is incredible, and it's not because of who they believe or what they believe, it's because of the fact that they're alive. So, yeah, I think there's goodness to be had, and read the book, see if it fascinates you.
I like that. Read the book. So then, ipso facto, switch that around. I don't even know what ipso facto means. Just because you're a Jesus person, do you think that necessarily means that joy is yours for the taking?
I think it requires a pressing in and a choice. I believe it's available, but it's something that has to be nurtured. I mean, every single day, today, I was driving to have breakfast with a friend, and I am not the optimistic person. My struggle in life hasn't been with everything looking better than it is. My struggle's been with depression. So for me, it means I have to turn my thoughts, like, what am I believing? What am I thinking? What's true? And it takes some effort.
You know, I'm interested in real change, and I have a hard time believing it until I actually saw some of it in my own life. And I was speaking with an author recently, and she had done some research on happiness, and the research would suggest that who you are as a person is pretty much who you're going to be with regards to your general outlook on life. You may become a little healthier in your outlook, you may become a little unhealthier, but your general outlook is going to remain the same. So if you have the spiritual gift of pessimism, you know, as a young punk, that could be there for quite a long time. She's saying, research says it'll be there forever. So this goes back to my original point, Stacey, about, you know, happy people going out and buying a book about happiness because it'll make them feel happy. Whereas the darker-sided people, the pessimistic people, the ones who are attracted to the Shadowlands, I guess what I want to know is, when was the last time you saw the work that you have been doing, the way you've invested in another person, actually make an impact on them, and they've walked away latching on to joy like you've never seen before? Because for me, boy, that seems hard to believe.
Okay, I got to go back. I got to say, being a naturally pessimistic person is not an excuse to be a pessimistic person.
Oh, I like that.
Just because you have a bent a certain way doesn't mean it's your right to inflict that on the world that you live around.
Good for you. Love that.
Dennis Prager, who's a naturally syndicated talk show host, he wrote about, he thinks that happiness is actually a moral responsibility because you impact those around you, and you don't want to just have people become more depressed because they're with you. We have a moral responsibility to not just inflict our pessimism and our unhappiness on everyone else. Like, if that's where you're at, be real about it, but rise to the occasion and offer some goodness and hope and some things that are actually you enjoy in your life.
Yeah. So, really well said.
In terms of, thank you.
No, that was a great...
It's also, you're asking people, like, to grow. To evolve.
Exactly.
Like what Jesus is asking us all to do, if you read the Bible or anything related to Jesus. And the one thing about Jesus is everybody, even the people that are atheists, are all like, yeah, he's a pretty awesome guy. No one's like, the guy was a kook, he didn't know what he was talking about. I've never heard that statement. But basically, if you want to put it in like baseline level, all he's asking us is like, I'm the best example of us. I was sitting here to show you the best example of what is possible. Hmm. I'm asking you to evolve. You're here, you can go here, but I'm asking you to grow every day.
Yeah.
So people that seem to me, in my opinion, that get depressed or get pessimistic or are the people that want to stop growing but want the world to look a certain way.
Ooh.
So if you're not, it's like I could pray to God and trap myself in a closet and go, God, I'm starving. God or Jesus or anybody else is not going to stick a hot dog through the keyhole.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get out of the closet and go walk around and go find food. So it does require a little bit of effort and growth on a human being's part.
Well, I'm sticking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stacey. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say you have a responsibility for your life. You really do. You have a role to play in your own life. And you don't want to just, I mean, okay, there are times when you can't get out of bed. But if that lasts too long, you need to get out of bed. And like you're talking about Jesus, his main message is love. Love people. Well, the way you love people then is by offering kindness, offering mercy, and receiving that from other people as well. So there's reason for hope, and you want to take hold of it.
Stacey Eldridge, author of Defiant Joy, Taking Hold of Hope, Beauty, and Life in a Hurting World. The website is defiantjoy.com. Stacey, thank you. I know you do a lot of interviews. You're a big deal. Thanks for putting up with our nonsense.
You guys are great. Thanks so much.
Enjoy your weekend. Bye, Stacey.
Bye.
HarperCollins Canada presents Stacey Eldridge, author of Defiant Joy.